that I found over in the gospel reading today, the gospel according to St. John verses, or chapter 14, 1 through 14. And here we have Jesus talking to his disciples, and this is one of those, passages where he's trying to encourage them, about upcoming events. There are some, this passage of scripture has always been troublesome to me as a believer, because, you know, quite frankly, there are some pretty, bold statements that Jesus makes. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in my Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. And the problem is, from our point of view, not from God's point of view, from our point of view, is God, we want to see it. This is your word. These are words directly from the mouth of Jesus. Whatever we ask in your name, you're going to do it. And we ask, sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. And that is as big a problem for me as it is for anybody else. Because we would like to think that God loves us enough that He is immediately at our first tier, just like mamas with a 2 or 3 year old that is getting out and enjoying his independence and, you know, playing around the house or playing in the backyard and falls and skins his knee or whatever, at the very first tier, at the very first yelp, mama is right there and taking care of business. And the thing is that we have to understand that God is in a different time zone that we're in. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that He does hear our prayers, and He does answer our prayers. But the point when we receive the manifestation of that answer might be a little bit different than when we're expecting it. But the thing that has, it's kind of given me a little bit of comfort, although it still hacks me off sometimes, forgive me, you know, I see Him come through, but it seems like He's just waiting for the last moment when at the next second I'm going to get my foot caught in the railroad tracks and the train's just going to, and that's the end of me. Alright? He's always on time. He's never late, but He is never there when we're expecting it. Amen? And I've given, you know, plenty of illustrations in our own lives how God has answered prayer miraculously. It just would have been a lot less nerve-wracking if He would have answered when we were originally asking. But as the result of Him stepping in and handling things, He goes ahead and does something wonderful. You can go ahead and sit down. Hi. All right. And so I just want to go back over what I've already read. I found some really, really neat things. Some words, did a really in-depth dive in the Greek language on this. I just found some really, really neat things. But John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And that's verse 1 of chapter 14. And so the word, when we're going along here, cardia, let not your hearts, cardia is the Greek word for heart, and it means not only this thing that's pumping blood, or it's supposed to be pumping blood, but it's also the seat of our emotions. Okay? When we are fearful, we don't say, "Oh, I have a stomach full of fear." Okay? "Oh, my shoulder is just broken over whatever is going on." No, our heart is full of fear. Our heart is broken over the things of God. The heart is the seat of our emotions. And so Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And the word that's used there means agitated. It's like taking a pot of dirty water and letting the dust and the dirt and the grime kind of go down, settle on the bottom. Okay, now we have water up here. We have dirt down here. And then some yahoo comes along with a spoon and mixes it all up again. Okay? And that's the word that is shown here. Don't let your hearts be troubled, agitated, all mixed up, confused. And Jesus said, this is not something to get confused or upset about. If you believe in God, believe in me. And here Jesus is setting up a discourse which basically is telling us He is the Father, and the Father is Him. And again, if anybody could explain the Trinity, I doubt if even the angels in glory could explain the Trinity. Amen? And that's one of the things that makes Christianity so unique, in that if I were creating a religion, I definitely wouldn't come up with an idea that people are just going to say, what? That makes no sense at all. So this is definitely a God thing. And so if you have faith in God, again, you know that I don't like the word believe. Believe is a very weak word. I bought a lottery ticket this week. No, I didn't. And I believe I'm gonna hit the lottery. If I believed, like the Greek word pistis, faith, believed, I'd be putting my house up for sale, I'd be looking for a slightly more glamorous lifestyle or whatever, because I would know that I knew that I knew that I knew that that money is coming in. Believe is a weak word in the English language. And so here in the American Standard, it says that you believe in me, or you believe in God, believe also in me. But again, it's that word pistis, which means you have faith in me, then have faith, or you have faith in God, then have faith also in me. And Jesus, like I said, Jesus is setting up here. He said, okay, and all of us know this next verse, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you, a place for you. And here, this is really neat, because it says, in my Father's house, which is oikia, and oikia or oikos talks about a house. It talks about a family. It's just not a building, but it's what family is. When you talk about home as a child, are you really... the only thing that's in your mind is a picture of your house, your childhood house, or are all those memories about you and your brothers and sisters and your cousins and all the things that you associated with that geographical location that happened to be your house. All right, and so here Jesus is saying, in my Father's house, oikia, the residence where the family is, there are many dwelling places. Now this is neat. This word that's used there is mone, like money, but with the accent on the mone. All right, it's only used twice in the whole Bible. It's used here, and it's used in the same chapter, John chapter 14, verse 23. And those are the only two places in the Bible where now there's lots of talk about mansions. There's lots of talk about palaces. There's lots of talk about residences and all of that, but there's only two places in the Bible where Jesus talks about what we have, what God has for us in glory. So in my Father's house, where the family is, there are many dwelling places. Like I said, the word is mone, and it means a place to stay. There is a place for you. Amen? Okay, so let's be real, real honest here. How many of you in glory want a kitchen? Okay. How many of you would like to wash the pots and the pans after you use the kitchen? All right. How about bedrooms? Are you going to need a place to sleep? See, most of what we think about our physical houses accommodates our physical limitations. We must eat, we must sleep. Okay? We won't have those limitations in glory. Amen? And so, I always found it interesting, even from a child, you know, what am I going to do? All these songs, I've got a mansion, what am I going to do with a mansion? What would any of us do with a mansion? Tara and I go down some of these streets in the Heights, and you see these beautiful mansions, and she says, look at that beautiful house. And I said, yeah, do you want to clean it? Then she informs me that if we could afford that house, we could afford a maid. So anyhow, and I says, yes, I know. Here I am. So, all right. And so Jesus is trying to explain to the guys, there's always going to be a place for them. In my Father's house, in His residence, where the family, where His family, the ones that He loves the most, the ones that He calls family and keeps near Him, are many monae, places to stay. It literally means a staying. And so we are assured that there's a place for us. He goes on and he says, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare, to make ready, a spot, a topone is what it says here, a place that it, I go to come to prepare a place for you. Okay, and that here's another word. It's only used a half dozen times in all of the New Testament, topon. And it means a place in geography. It's a place right there. But it's defined by who occupies that place. It's not just coordinates on a map. It's Dale's place. It's Joy's place. It's Grace's place, okay? And so, this is so exciting for me because that tells me I have a place somewhere close to the Father. I have a place that is reserved for me. And Jesus has been preparing that spot, that topon, that little whatever it is. I don't care if it's a place in a Motel 6, as long as it's close to God. Amen. You know, it's funny. In prior years, I was responsible for the continuing education of the military chaplains that are in the Southwest region and at seven states. And so I would go to one of our bases, and we'd usually contract with the base chaplain and for some classrooms and stuff like that. And this was a one-week thing that we did. And so while we were staying there, then we would stay, you know, we wouldn't stay in a hotel. We would stay in the living quarters. And if there wasn't anything going on in the world, then usually I could get what was it they called officers' billeting. So I've got a bedroom, I've got a nice living room, reception area, then the bathroom, and, you know, all of that, because it's a nice little apartment, and it's nice and handy. Well, one time I was up there, and we were in the middle of one of the Gulf Wars. And so everybody's being in transit, and they're plumb out of officers' quarters, okay? Hey, that's fine. Just give me a bed, and I'm a happy camper. So they put me up. You had a living quarters, you had a bathroom and shower, and then you had another living quarters, and everybody had to share the bathroom and the shower, which isn't bad, except they put me up with three Marines, and they weren't officers, and they were partying hardy before they were deployed, because they were getting on an airplane the next day, and they were going out. And finally around 3 o'clock in the morning, I had to say, oh, come on, guys, just let me get a little bit of sleep, okay? And they said, oh, okay, Chappie. And I got a few hours of sleep. But I had a place. There was a spot there for me. Isn't it nice to know that we don't have to share our spot next to a bunch of drunken sailors or Marines or whatever when we get to glory, that we have a place for us, reserved for us right now. Okay? And so, and verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, ergo, I will come again. I mean, Jesus doesn't do stuff just to waste his time. If he goes to prepare that spot, that topone for us, that place that's reserved just for us, then he's going to come back and get us. Doesn't that make sense to you? No, it's not, fooled you, King's X, can't go, got to stay here. No, if I go and I prepare this place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Now, let me just go ahead and blow through this. I'll receive you unto myself so that where I am, and it just says, so that where I, listen, Jesus says, where I exist, you exist. Amen? So, sometimes in the King James, the American Standard, or whatever, it gets a little confusing. He is simply saying, so that where I exist, where I'm doing my thing, so are you. So will you. You will. I'm going. Perfect tense. Means it's going on. It's just not going to be you're there for a holiday, and then he kicks you out. No, this is it. This is forever. Amen. Where he exists, we exist. Amen. All right, and then he goes and he's talking to his disciples. And they're all kind of confused. Well, Jesus, we don't understand. Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, Philip says, well, then just show me the Father, and I'll be satisfied. No, dipstick, you've been seeing the Father all this time, And then Jesus goes. He says, and Jesus said to him, "I am the way." Thomas asked, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Okay? And that's, for somebody who's been under Jesus' tutelage for 3.5 years, that's kind of a dumb question. But, hey, it's a fair question. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Amen? And that is so simple. But the world, just like when Stephen starts talking about, I see the heavens have opened and I see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father. They didn't want to hear it. They covered their ears and they charged him and they took him out of the city and they killed him. The world doesn't want to hear that kind of stuff. They want to know all roads lead to Rome. As long as you are earnest in your faith, whatever that faith may be, if you are earnest in it, that's going to get you to glory. But no, Jesus, no one comes to the Father but by me. That's it. In Canada, that's considered hate speech, by the way. Punishable by arrest and fine. All right, they have just passed some laws up there that have gone through the Bible and said, if you proclaim this verse, you are guilty of hate speech. Canada. Who would have guessed? All right. The end times, brothers and sisters. Things are changing fast. This isn't the same world we grew up in. Not the same one. All right. And after, Philip is saying, show us the Father, then Jesus comes back and he says, do you believe or do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And believe it or not, that's exactly what the Greek says. In. Preposition. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. No need to allegorize. If the plain sense makes perfect sense, seek no other sense. First rule of, you know, dividing the word. Okay? And then, Jesus said, because I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, then he says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but it's the Father. Now, your King James uses the word dwells. It's the Father who dwells in me, but that word is not there. It says, but the Father who in me is doing his works. The Father in me is doing his works. And, let me see, doing the works himself. Wow. Jesus is saying, it's the Father in me doing these works himself. And then, verily, truly, this is actually Hebrew that Jesus is using here. Jesus usually spoke in Aramaic, and then that was translated into Greek, but here he's speaking in Hebrew, and he says, amen, amen. It means whatever I'm fixing to say is important. Amen and amen. I tell you, the one who has faith in me will also do the works that I do. And the works that I do, likewise they will do. In fact, greater works than these will they do, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they're talking about the works. What were the works of Jesus? We've been studying them for the past, however long. Oh, he walks on water, he feeds the thousands, he heals the sick, he raises the dead. Just the works that the Father is doing through Jesus. Simple little things. And it says here, but greater works than these shall they do, because I go to the Father. And the word that you say, I got the biggest kick out of that. Because the word, and greater works, it's megas, where we get mega. Mega work. We are expected to do mega works. Jesus did works. We're expected to do mega works. Well, wait a second now. How am I supposed to feed the thousands? How am I supposed to raise the dead, heal the lame, whatever, set people free? But remember what Jesus just said. It's the Father in me that's doing these things. And then he says, and you will do these mega works because I go to the Father. And this is in reference to the Ephesians 4:11 ascension gifts. They're called ascension gifts. Jesus sent the gifts of the Spirit after he ascended to the Father. So that's why he said, I have to leave. The work can't get done with me here, but if I go to the Father, I shall send the Comforter. I will send you another Comforter, and he's going to be able to do these works through you. Okay? So Jesus said, and mega works will they, he's using the word they, and who do you think they is? Are. Alright? Any guess? The disciples? No, he's talking to the disciples. Why would he use the word they? He's talking about us. He's talking about believers. People who walk in faith. And then he goes, he says, and I do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and if you ask anything, ask me for anything, I will do it. But this has to do with our relationship in God. See, there are certain things in life that you don't get until you're ready. Now, even as a 10-year-old, I felt that I could drive a vehicle as good as any adult could. And on the farm, we used to tear it up on those pickup trucks, baby. Man. And they'd call the sheriff on us, and the sheriff would come out and wouldn't even talk to us. There was some city lady that rented the house across the street. She just couldn't understand why 10 and 11-year-olds were just running up down the road with tractors and implements on the back and pickup trucks and hauling bales of hay and all that good stuff. And sheriff had to give her a little lesson on country life. This is it. These people work for a living. From before you get up until after you go to bed at night, they got cattle to feed and, you know, all that good stuff to do. So but in life, you know, you didn't get your driver's license until you were 16, and in some states you had to be 18 to get your driver's license. That's just how it is. There are certain requirements that you have to make. Jesus would just love to answer every one of our requests immediately upon, our Ask Net request. Except that most of the times we're asking through our own needs, and we're not asking them as we are in the Father and the Father is in us. Because we let self get in the way a whole lot. But I want to jump down into John chapter 14 verse 23 to conclude this little study. And because it brings it all together. Remember I told you there were two places where that word monet, which is our space in heaven, our place in God's household. Okay, in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, and that's what it says here, eontis agape me. If anyone loves me. Alright? Simple enough? We're all on board? He will keep my word. Okay, the word of mine he will guard, is what that says in the Greek. And my Father will love him. Now this is Jesus bringing God the Father into a personal relationship with us. If anyone is guarding my word, is keeping my word, is observing my, is living my word, then my Father will love him. And the Father of mine, and the Father, will love him and listen, and we will come to him. Now this is the first time that we see the Trinity being invoked here. Jesus saying, we, he's talking at least about Jesus the Son and God the Father. And we will come to him and make our abode, one, with him or her. So, you know, we talk about our home in glory. This isn't post-death. He's talking about right now, right here, in this time, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and because of that, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Okay, it says and with him we will, you know, and with him our abode with him we will make. It's backwards in the Greek. That's right now. So if we love him, we're going to cherish his word. Whatever keep means to you, to hold tight. We're going to keep. And because of that, my Father will love him also. And because the Father loves him, Jesus says the next step, we will come to him. Now we go to him. He comes to us. and makes our abode with Him. So that same word that's used previously for our place in heaven, Jesus said, that's for us here on earth right now. You can go ahead and say, in the sweet by and by, but He's saying, if you will keep My word, then the Father will love you, and we will come to you, and we will make our abode, the same relationship that we're all dying to get to heaven for, have that place in glory next to Jesus. He said, we'll do it right here on earth. And I have a feeling that for anybody who attains that, that having that living relationship with God the Father and the Son Jesus, I have an idea that our prayer life is going to be a little bit different. Amen? I have an idea that we're going to have a much brighter, or I should say broader, view of what God is doing in this world. We tend to be, we look at our own problems. God is looking at His creation. We can be involved with our own little problems, or we can be part of what God is doing in these last times also. What do you think about that? The only word that's used twice, that talks about our place in heaven, is also promised to us right here on this earth if we keep His word. That's the only condition. If you keep My word, the Father will love Him. And if the Father loves Him, then we will come to Him and keep that abode with Him or her, ladies, you're not left out. Okay? I really think that, most of us here have been living for Jesus for a long, long time, and I still believe we have just barely scratched the surface of what He has for us. Amen? We have just barely scratched the surface. You know, one of the things that I enjoy about going to India is the wildlife in your own backyard. And in the house where I stay, I have a little, they call it a sit-out room. It's a patio up on the second floor. And I like going out there because I can look over the parapet, over the wall, and I can see the chickens in the backyard. Now, they don't have yards like we have, all right, because you're growing your banana trees and your coconut trees, and you got all this stuff growing in your backyard. And so there's a lot of foliage that's on the ground, and the chickens will get out there, and mama chickens, you'll have, three or four little peepers behind her, and she's out there, man, she's just scratching away at that. Dirt is flying everywhere. But once you get past that stuff on the surface, there's all these nice, juicy, yummy worms and little white wiggly things. And I was watching one day, it's like the Holy Spirit said, okay, the chicken is the Holy Spirit. He's preparing blessings for His children. And we've got two chicks. One chick was right behind Mama, and she's scratching away. This chick is just covered with dirt. Little pieces of stick hanging off of it. It was just a dirty little chicken. But as soon as she saw a grub, man, she was on that grub. Okay? Now the other one, he didn't want to get too dirty, you see. And so we're going to step back just a little bit, and we'll just watch Mama. We'll let her do all the work. And, oh, there's a grub. I take up, boom. And Sister got that grub. All right, who do you think got to be the biggest, fattest chicken in the backyard? Not really a good thing, because that means it's dinner the next night, but because the one that was willing to get in there and get dirty was the one that got the blessing. The one that sits back and says, well, I'll just wait for God to just put it in my hands. Yeah, you're going to be one scrawny chicken. All right? You got to get in there and get a little bit dirty. And I think that a lot of people go through life like that second chicken, that second little peeper. Well, I'll just wait and God will put it in my hands. All right? And then they never get the blessing that they're looking for. Meanwhile, Big Sister over here is tearing it up. I mean, we've got, it's a buffet over there, and Big Sister is tearing it up. And I got that little sermon illustration there. I said, thank you, Jesus. I want to be that first chicken, the first little peeper over there, just covered with dirt and sticks and dried leaves and whatever, because that one is fighting for the blessing. And I'm looking for the day when we embrace God's word. If that person loves my word, then my Father will love him, and he'll be in my Father, and we will go to him, and we will be in him. Wow, what would our Christian walk be like then? What do you think? Amen? So I like that. That's the only two times that those two words are used that talk about our home in heaven. Once it's in heaven, but the second reference is here on earth. And so, you don't have to wait for the heavenly blessings. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, Father God, we thank you so much. Lord God,